إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد we continue بإذن الله reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Walid Al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan Al-Fawzan حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. Second chapter from Kitab Al-Hajj, the sections of Hajj in this book. باب في شروط وجوب الحج على المرأة وأحكام النيابة. But we're going to learn two things here, inshallah ta'ala, in this chapter. What are the conditions that make it wajib, obligatory upon the woman to make hajj? And also, the Shaykh is going to bring some rulings and regulations, the rulings and regulations for al-niyabah. Al-niyabah meaning the proxy, making hajj by proxy, or making hajj on behalf of somebody else. When someone makes hajj on behalf of someone else. I know that whenever we talk about the Hajj, subhanAllah, the hearts, you know, start Allah, be moved. So we ask Allah to make it easy for the Muslims to perform Hajj. Those who are already heading there, may Allah make it easy for them to make it safely. And those who are already there, may Allah make their stay easy for them. And those who are not going this year, may Allah make it easy for all of us to perform Hajj, inshaAllah, and to visit the sacred places. I mean, قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله الوالد الحج يجب على المسلم ذكرا كان أم أنثى. الحج يجب على المسلم ذكرا كان أم أنثى لكن يشترط لوجوبه على المرأة زيادة عما سبق من الشروط وجود المحرم الذي يسافر معها لأدائه، لأنه لا يجوز للمرأة أن السفر للحج أو لغيره ولا لغيره بدون محرم. The Shaykh began once again to remind us that Hajj is obligatory upon male and female Muslims. And that's once a lifetime, as we learned in the previous chapter. Because Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam, and Hajj is an obligation. To perform Hajj is an obligation upon Muslims, male and female, once in a lifetime for those who have the ability to do so. And we learn those conditions, what make a person able to make Hajj and to perform Hajj. The same applies for a woman and man and woman. However, the woman adds another condition. She has another condition. What is it? The mahram. She has to have a mahram with her. We just translate at this moment as a companion. A male companion, family member, exactly, but the Shaykh is going to give us the definition of a mahram, not just any companion, okay? Not just any family member companion. So if a woman wants to make Hajj, she has all the conditions fulfilled, she still has to add this one too. She has to have a mahram that travels with her, not the mahram that takes her to the airport like certain people do. The mahram take her to JFK and that's it. La. He has to make Hajj with her. The ulama, they said, or at least take her to Mecca. At least. Because once she's in Mecca, then she's not going to travel to go to Mina. But still with that, he says, the ulama says that to find her a nice and pious companions. A family where there are women that they can take care of her. But the woman should travel with a mahram. The Shaykh, he says, because it is not permissible for the woman, period, to travel without a mahram, whether for hajj or for other than hajj. And that's a clear misconception, because some women, they think, no, this is hajj, what are you talking about? I'm not going to Paris, I'm going to China for fun, for vacation. This is hajj. No, it doesn't matter. It's not about where you're going, it's not about the destination, but rather it's about the travel itself. So therefore it's not permissible for a woman to travel, whether for hajj or other than hajj, without a mahram. And the Shaykh mentioned a couple of ahadith. On them, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تسافر المرأة إلا مع محرم ولا يدخل عليها رجل إلا مع محرم. No woman is allowed to travel except with if she's accompanied with a mahram. Except with a mahram. And no one should enter upon a woman, meaning visit a woman or be with a woman alone without a mahram. Except that if there is a mahram with her. وقال رجل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إني أريد أن أخرج في جيش كذا وكذا يعني غازيا وامرأتي تريد الحج أي امرأة هذا الرجل تريد أن تذهب إلى الحج فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخرج معها وفي الصحيحين خرج معها إلى الحج وفي الصحيحين إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة وإني اكتتبت في غزوة كذا وكذا قال انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. مع أن هذا نعرف فضل الجهاد في سبيل الله، رغم ذلك الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لهذا الرجل اذهب واترك هذه الغزوة واذهب حج مع امرأتك، سافر مع زوج مع امرأتك. And the Shaykh mentioned this hadith. A man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said to him, I'm participating in this expedition. I'm going out with this expedition, but my wife, the man saying now, but my wife is going for Hajj. She intends to go to make Hajj. The Prophet said to him, go with your wife. Go with your wife. Also in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, that a man came to the Prophet and he said to him, O Messenger of Allah, my wife, meaning the man's wife, because he's the one who's narrating the story, he says, my wife is going for Hajj. She's intending to go for Hajj. While I put my name, I'm participating in an expedition, such and such. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, no, go and make Hajj with your wife. Allahu Akbar. وفي الصحيح وغير لا يحل لامرأة تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة ليس معها محرم. Also in the sound hadith agreed upon by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, from the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, it is not permissible for a woman to travel a distance of a day and night without a mahram. Without a mahram. Without a mahram. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, فهذه جملة نصوص عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحرم على المرأة أن تسافر بدون محرم يسافر معها. So now, alhamdulillah, this is a great benefit for all of us, and especially for the women and those who are guardians over the women, whether they are your mothers or our mothers or daughters or sisters or aunts or wives or the like, nieces. So we learn something from this class of hajj. It's a very important point that a woman does not travel alone or with a group of other women or with a group of other men. A woman who believes in Allah and the last day, and that's the attitude of a believing woman, she should obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not travel alone or travel with other people that are not mahram to her. So we learn this is a great benefit, but unfortunately, women these days, Allah musta'an. For those who travel, you know what I'm talking about. I recently came from a journey. There was more women on that plane than men. and subhanAllah, and they see the hardship that certain women go through, they alone, and they have 3-4 kids, Allah musta'an. No man with them. Where the men at? The airport waiting. Waiting at the airport. And sometimes people call us and say this and that, and sometimes we advise the people, and the person says he don't feel like going this year. And he sent his wife and children alone. Some other man, he's like, look, he don't wanna, for example, those who, they are immigrants, and they wanna go to Africa, Asia, whatever the case is, they wanna like go, they send their kids, wives and children, and then they send them by themselves. Later on, they catch up with them. These people, they all should know that it's not permissible for the woman to travel alone. And a man is responsible of his wife. He should tell her, no, you cannot travel. Be patient, inshallah. We go together. It's very important for the woman to obey Allah, to obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aynam. May Allah guide the women, the Muslim women, to adhere to the commands of Allah and the commands of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of them, they look at it like, you guys just making a big of it. It's like, nothing happened to this woman. No, these women, they've been going alone, nothing happened to them. Some of them even say, no, actually, traveling without a husband is even better. Husband just give you a hard time. They say, nothing happened. What do they mean, nothing happened? Did he disobey Allah and nothing happened? Can anything, they looking for something worse? They disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobeying the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said in Surah Al-Nisa, وَمَنْ يُشَقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبِينَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after guidance has been made clear to him, and choose to be on a way other than the way of the believers, the way of the companions, and those who follow them upon good, we shall lead them to that path they have chosen for themselves, and we shall cast them in the hellfire, wa'iyadu billah. Can you get worse than this? And they're like, hey, the woman, she went and came back, nothing happened to her. And she's subjecting herself to the fire. And a man pay her ticket and send her and take her to the airport. And he's like, ain't nothing wrong. And he's commanded to protect his family from the fire. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, protect yourselves and your families on fire. But he subjects himself and his family to the fire by disobeying the commands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a very important matter. It is upon us to convey. As for who's going to listen or not, that's not up to us. Hidayat al-tawfiq hadihi lillah, the guidance of success and complying with the commands, that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to guide His servants, male and female, and keep us all firm upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh said, these are some of the texts from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are clear. That is clear that it is forbidden for the woman to travel without a mahram that should be with her. سَوَاءً كَانَ السَّفَرِ الْحَجَّ لِغَيْرِهِ. Whether the travel of this woman, she's traveling to perform hajj or other than that. وَذَلِكَ لِأَجْلِ السَّدِّ الدَّرِيعَ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ وَالْإِفْتِتَانِ مِنْهَا وَبِهَا. And all of this to cut the door, to shut the door for any fitna and trials that she may put herself into or cause others to be because of her being alone. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله المحرم من السبيل فمن لم يكن لها محرم لم يلزمها الحج بنفسها ولا بنعم بها. And then the Shaykh mentioned the statement of Imam Ahmad رحمه الله. He said that one of the prerequisites for the woman is that she should have a mahram. Besides the one we mentioned, one of the requirements and prerequisites also that she should have a mahram. So if a woman does not have the mahram, yet able. She has all the other things. She's fit to travel, she's healthy, she has money. Then she don't go make Hajj. She do not perform Hajj. ثم قال الشيخ ومحرم المرأة من هو محرم المرأة. Since I mentioned this, I want to mention an answer to a question that is answered by our noble scholars. I'm just going to give you the answer of Sheikh Ibn Baz, our great Sheikh Al-Allama Abd al-Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, because it is related to this point of woman traveling without a mahram making Hajj, because some women do that. And some travel agents, they even fake mahrams. They do. People somehow, Allah Musta'an. Because how I knew, because I was in 1 year, and when we get to the hotels, I was helping the guy to put the people in the hotels. And then I was going to put, actually this is after the Hajj, we came to Egypt and we have an overnight stay in Egypt. And then they give us a hotel. This is after the Hajj. And then, during Hajj, I used to know that this man, and he's the husband of this woman, and this woman is the husband, male, whatever. Then the guy told me, look, just put two by room, two in the room. We're giving you two in the room, not four. Usually in the Hajj is four, unless you pay to get two. So I said, let me start with those married couple first. So I put this man with this woman. He's like, Astaghfirullah, why you put me with the woman? I said, that's your wife. Hudu billah, that's not my wife. I said, she was your wife, all Hajj. Now she's not your wife. You see how it is? Some people do that. We shouldn't do this, because some people, they think they're doing a favor to those women. Some of those men, they think like they are doing those women a favor, and they helping them out to make Hajj. We help one another upon good, upon taqwa. We don't help one another upon disobedience to Allah and disobedience to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many mistakes. Another mistake, Allah Musta'an, you find certain communities who are far away from learning. We have to thank Allah for being able, Allah giving us this opportunity to learn. Of course, we don't learn a lot, but this is nothing like one class a night. Yes, it's better than nothing, but it's way far from what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, we're not going to learn for, you see, the fiqh, we do one year, one hour a week. It's not even 1 hour. People, they study this book in 1 week. Finish. You know, Bab al-Hajj, now we're staying with it for a couple months. Now, Hajj, one day, they finish it after Fajr. They stay 2, 3, 4 hours until they finish it. Ayna'am. In Dawarat. Sometimes you find some ignorant communities, you find the Imam, he's the mahram of all women. That's it. They have a program for Hajj, and just, okay, any woman don't have mahram, the Imam of the Masjid is the mahram. Who says who? Do you have a hadith? Al-Imam mahram liman la mahram alaha. Did this man has a hadith that the Imam of the Masjid is the mahram for women or something? Look, they play with the deen of Allah. And then you see them, like a group, we've seen them many times. It's like a group of 40 sisters going by. One man or two with them. One man. Where's their husband? You think they all have a flu in the hotel? No. No man. Because we ask them, where's your... No, just the Imam is the mahram. The Imam is not a mahram. He be mahram for who? For those that is permissible for him. His mother, wife, or wives, daughters, nieces, and the like. Aunts. His sisters, not sisters in Islam. Blood sister. Alright? Not sister in Islam. No. Brother. Brother Imam. No, it's not like that. Not like that. And you find, subhanAllah, jahl. However, the point is that sometimes women, they ask, Those women who made Hajj without a mahram, now they ask, is it their Hajj valid or not? Sheikh Ibn Baz says, the Hajj being valid or not has nothing to do with her traveling without a mahram. If she has ikhlas, she's upon tawheed, alhamdulillah, and she stayed away from innovations, and she performed Hajj according to the Sunnah, inshallah, Allah accept from her. But she's still sinful because she traveled without a mahram. That she still subjects herself to the punishment of Allah by her traveling without a mahram. Okay? طيب. الآن يقول الشيخ من هو المحرم؟ قال محرم المرأة هو. Now the Sheikh is going to tell us who is this mahram. There is a condition, is a requirement, is a must for a woman to make Hajj. And this is Hajj. We're not talking about some seminars in Virginia or something. Or some walima, or some marriage or ceremony for one of her family. No, we're not talking about like some family reunion or something. This is Hajj, ya akhi. Still, is a mahram has to be present with her. Who is he? That's why, who is he? It's not a she. Okay, who is he? Alright, it's not a she. Alright? قال هو زوجها. The first place is her husband. But alhamdulillah, it's not just the husband. But the Shaykh mentioned that the first place is the husband. أو من يحرم عليه نكاحها تحريما مؤبدا. Or this, if a woman, she's not married, then she has other options. And the woman who's married, still she has this option. Doesn't mean that if a woman is married, her only mahram for Hajj is her husband. No, I mean for her husband come in the first place, but if he's busy, he's sick, cannot go, then these others can't go with her, inshallah ta'ala. Or someone that it is haram for him to marry that woman, period, forever. And these are two categories. Those that are يَحْرُمُونَ بِالنَّسَبْ. Those who are forbidden for them to marry this woman by lineage, because of the kinship that they have. Such as كَأَخِيهَا, like her brother. Once again, not a Muslim brother. Her brother. Blood brother, okay? وَأَبِيهَا, her father. وَعَمِّهَا, her uncle. وَابْنِ أَخِيهَا, and her
cousin.
Nephew. ابن أخيها. Cousin, no. Cousin is not. Cousin is not a mahram. A cousin can be a mahram in one condition, we're going to mention this. Cousin is not a mahram. The cousins are not mahrams. If a woman have male cousins, that's not permissible for her to be around. Except with one condition, we're going to mention it in the second category. And also, وَخَالِهَا. What is the difference between عَمِّهَا and خَالِهَا?
Paternal.
Paternal and maternal uncle. So, you know, in English, they just uncle. You don't know which one. Hey, my uncle is here. All right, you think that's he just left. He came back. No, he wasn't here. So it's confusion. But in Arabic, if you say "ammi ata," that's an uncle. "Khaluki," but the khal, the maternal uncle just left. It's not a problem. No confusion. Oh yeah, wow. Khali just left. Ammi just in here. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. طيب. Or another example, you have in a room, in this living room, you have the paternal uncle and maternal uncle. And then the mother said, whatever, because there's other man in there, the lady can go, she said to her little boy, take this to your uncle. What are you going to do now? Huh? She has to specify, right? Take this to your uncle Jeff, or something like this. You know? Walid said, I'll take this to your uncle Ibrahim. But in Arabic, if it's maternal uncle, she will say what? Khal. Khal. Maternal. As if it's paternal, she say, خُدْ هَذَا إِلَىٰ عَمِّكْ. No, عَمُّكْ, عَمِّكْ. مَجْرُورْ. بِفِي, right? Okay, now you with me. Okay, مجرور بحرف الجر. إلى. خذ هذا إلى إلى عمك أو لعمك. خذ هذا لعمك أو إلى عمك. That's a homework. Okay. Is it what is sound to say خذ هذا لعمك أو إلى عمك. Homework. هذا تمرين منزلي تمرين منزلي شاء الله طيب And the second category those who are forbidden بسبب مباح they are forbidden because there is a valid reason in the legislation who can give me an example because I tell you what the Sheikh mentioned
nurses
no Nursing. A baby or something? Aina bisabab mubah ka akhin min rada'a. Like a person becomes her brother. This lady, this man becomes her brother. How? Breastfeeding. Aina. Whether his mother breastfed her or her mother breastfeed him, or something, because the breastfeeding has different rules, okay? And of course, it has to be done the right way, not just they share like a bottle of milk, or they eat breakfast cereal together. It doesn't work like that. All right? You got to know the rulings of breastfeeding, and if they are those conditions are fulfilled, then that man, who does he have to be the cousin? It couldn't be anybody. Neighbors. If one woman, for example, has two neighbors, they don't know each other. They're from different tribes, different countries. But this woman, she gave a birth to a boy. This woman gave a birth to a girl. Maybe there is like a month between them, 6 months, one year, 1 year and a half, 5 years. La. All right. Take the 5 years out. They have to be 2 years and down. And then they both breastfeeding. And this woman, she has to go to the doctor, for example. She has nobody to watch her case. She's like to the neighbor, please, can you watch my daughter? Younger. The girl, she get hungry, she breastfed her. So when the mother came back, especially if she want to eat, you know how long she's going to stay there, right? A couple hours. So she's like, okay, I took care of her, I breastfed her and everything. So the Muslim woman, she should say, oh, you did. After thanking her, says, how many times you did that? Oh, twice. That's not exactly. It has to be 5 times. At least. The ulama, they says, even if the mother is non-Muslim, the neighbor. I personally ask one of the mashayikh, I think it's Sheikh Ubaid, one of the mashayikh, because somebody asked us, a woman, neighbor, she's non-Muslim woman, and she breastfed this man. Is he his mother? He says, yes, that's his mother. It's his mother, even though she's not Muslim. As long as the breastfeeding is done right. Anyway, try to give you some extra, alhamdulillah, to make this matter clear, inshallah ta'ala, but still, a homework. Alright, so you do your homework. We have, alhamdulillah, the statements of the ulama. Allahu Akbar, this is fatawa of the ulama, alhamdulillah, on books, on CDs, online, as long as you get the fatawa of the senior scholars and those trustworthy scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Tayyib. Aw bi musahara. Aw bi musahara. What does it mean, bi musahara? Aw bi musahara. Or true marriage. Now the in-laws and the true marriage. Okay? that this woman now, some other people, they become mahram to her through marriage, when her mother get married. Okay? For instance, كَزَوْجُ أُمِّهَا, her stepfather. If the marriage is consummated, so it's become haram for him to marry her daughter. Stepfather is father-in-law. That's not the same.
No.
It's stepfather. Husband. No. Stepfather, not father-in-law. Father-in-law is the father of her husband.
Oh.
Now we're talking about the husband of her mother. That's. You know English better than me, so hey, if I make a mistake, I stand corrected, inshallah. I'm saying right? This woman, this girl, she's 23, for example, or more or less, okay? Let's say she's 43, okay? Inshallah. Safer this way. Alright? But her mother, that is 75, got married to a brother. We're just saying this because, yes, it could happen. Why not? Now, that father, who is he to the girl? Zawju ummiha. That, why ummuha? Why not ummuha? Mudaf ilayha. Write it 20 times. Alright? Zawju ummiha.
Zawji ka zawji.
Huwa zawju ummiha. Mada qulta ant? What did you say?
I said ka zawji. I said ka zawji
ummuha. Anta qulta ummuha. You meant to say that?
I meant to say ummi.
Ah, well, I meant to say to you to write it 30, but just write it 22, okay? Alhamdulillah. All right, I want to see you, inshallah, right tomorrow. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Zawji. Whether you say zawji ummiha, ummiha stay the same. Okay? Tayyib. Luqman, you can do it too. All right? Inshallah. Don't ask me why, but you can write it 20 times too. You don't mind? Jazakallah. Write it down there. Homework. Alright? But make sure you have to write 20 times the right answer. If you write the wrong answer, that's something else. With tashkila, with the vowels now, harakat. Now, pay. You want to try for welcome? طيب كزوج أمها وابني زوجها لماذا وابني وليس وابنو وابني
مطار
أي هو كذلك عبد الرحيم finish book one لماذا وابني وليس وابنا وابنون
واو حرف
عبد الرحيم change your name بالحقيقة ask another time so you're here with your heart mind ears everything right we mention كزوج أمها وابني زوجها وابني why not وابنو go ahead, say something. Your name is not Abdul Rahim, right? All right, inshallah. You can help. What is it, Abdul Rahim? The wow. What's wrong with it? I didn't say we. Ibni. It's about Ibni, not the wow. Why are you talking about the wow? See the pressure? Now that's the pressure. I'm just putting some pressure on you. Hello, Abdullah. لا تدري أحسنت نعم هو كذلك الواو واو عطف نعم وابن زوجها likewise it says ابن زوجها who can translate that ابن زوجها
son of her husband
the son of her husband what does it mean another word
stepson
the son of the husband what is another word
stepson or either her son or
her stepbrother. Stepbrother. Talking about, not talking about the wife, we're talking about her daughter.
This is the son of her mom's husband?
Yeah, the son of her mom's husband.
I thought it was her, the son of her husband.
Oh, yeah, yeah. انظر كزوجي أمها وابني زوجها. أي نعم. ابني زوجها. Yeah, you're right, because her, the other one is not mahram to her. Okay. وابني زوجها. Her stepson. She married a man, he has a son. Okay? That son become a mahram to her. You understood?
The other one is not mahram.
Oh, the other one. Now, a man married a woman. He has a son, the woman has a daughter. Is his son mahram to the other woman's daughter?
No,
they're not. See, that's the case. They are not mahram. They are not. Aina. And this is because of the hadith in Sahih Muslim. لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله أن تسافر إلا معها أبوها أو ابنها أو زوجها أو أخوها أو ذو محرم منها. Alhamdulillah, see now why I'm giving you a little bit, you know, what they call it? Some previews or whatever, because we're going to learn that later on in here. Okay? Alright? We're going to learn it later on. Aina. Gonna have those people, and especially in the earth, in fara'id, we're gonna do in nikah, when we go to nikah, marriage, and all that, you're gonna like see all these people, they will come together, inshallah, these categories, okay? So here he mentioned the hadith in Sahih Muslim that is not permissible for a woman that believes in Allah, a woman that believes in Allah, to travel except while she's accompanied with her father, her son, or her husband, or her brother, or a mahram, or somebody who is a mahram to her. I know. Another point the Shaykh mentioned, وَنَفَقَةُ مَحْرَمِهَا فِي السَّفَرِ عَلَيْهَا. Now here's a question. This woman knows that she has to have a mahram. Who should take care of the mahram? The expenses of the Hajj. Let's say this woman, she want to go with this group, alhamdulillah, upon Sunnah, inshallah, but the Hajj is $5,000. So her mahram has to have what?
10,000?
No, the mahram. 5,000 too, right? Okay, but who take care of that 5,000, of the mahram? The Shaykh says, the expenses of Hajj as related to the mahram is on the woman. I know. فَيَشْتَرِتُ لِوُجُوبِ الْحَجِّ عَلَيْهَا. Is it some relief for some brothers here? But still we have sadaqat. Be nice, be kind, be gentle, if you can. Now, I don't want to know what to go now and say, hey, are you never going to Hajj with me? Or you know what, whenever you want to go to Hajj, you better pay my way. We're learning, but this is not the only thing we learn. We're learning the akhlaq, the generosity, huh? Hey now, don't frighten a woman from now. Alhamdulillah, she should know these things. If she have money, she should have money also for the mahram. But if a man has money, alhamdulillah, and maysur al-hal, and he has and he wants to take his wife, that's khair. That's a lot of khair, ya akhwan. Aina. But here, just a ruling. This is a ruling that we need to know. The Shaykh says, it is a condition for a woman, for the Hajj to be obligatory upon her. Once all of the conditions are fulfilled, and she has the mahram, now the expense of the mahram is on her as well. Take care of her expenses, and the mahram expenses as well. أي أن تملك ما ينفق عليها وعلى محرمها ذهبا وإيابا. Now both ways, not just like take him over there, finish Hajj, like look man, you're on your own. No. Both ways until they come back, inshallah. قال الشيخ another point, ومن وجدت محرما وفرطت بالتأخير حتى فقدته مع قدرتها المالية انتظرت حصوله فإن أيست من حصوله استنابت من يحج عنه. Now another point is that if a woman, she had a mahram, but for whatever reason, she, from some negligence, لأنه قال فرطت, due to her negligence, she lost that mahram now. She lost it. Can't go with her anymore. And she's able to take care of the expenses. Then, the Shaykh said, this woman should wait until she finds the mahram. She don't like, oh, whatever, I gotta do what I gotta do. A woman doesn't do what she's gonna do. A woman, she do what Allah tells her to do. A Muslim woman doesn't do what... Some women, they have this attitude. Look, brother, I know that hadith, but a man... See, usually it's a man gotta do what a man gotta do, right? Well, there is some women too. They just want to do whatever they decide. And this is not good. That's why you say sometimes turmoil in some marriages, simply because the woman, she wants to do whatever she wants to do. Especially in the matters that, okay, she decide, the husband come and say, look, you're my wife, I want good for you. So you're just telling me I'm not going, right? Yeah, but wait, I'm going to explain to you. Let me bring some hadith. I know all the hadiths, brother, all of them. You have nothing else to tell me. So why you still decided? I got to do what I got to do. And this is a bad attitude. The woman, she should do what's pleasing to Allah. And we should listen too. Not just always the women, but as men too. Sometimes a man decided to do something, but his wife, she went, mashallah, she researched it on the internet, she found a couple of fatawa, then she sent a nice text message to the brother, listen, jazakallah khairan, may Allah reward you, but look, it's not like that. Subhanallah, some women are divorced by text message. Why? Interfering. That's his excuse. She interferes with his business. Okay, she doesn't interfere with your Islam, and you, she wants, she cares about you, stay on the path of Allah, so who will? That's a good woman. A woman, she went and did some research on the internet, she found a couple of fatwa that you, brother, this transaction is no good for you. The way you're going with this, it's not good for you. We have to humble ourselves. And may Allah grant us that. And we humble ourselves and we listen to those advices, inshallah ta'ala. Now, so that will be the last point, inshallah ta'ala, for tonight's class, that if a woman find a mahram and she's able to take care of the expenses for both for herself and for the mahram, but for whatever negligence of her part, she lost that mahram and is not available anymore, then that woman, the Shaykh said, she should wait until the mahram, whether that same person or other than him, be available, insha'Allah ta'ala. I just want to mention one point. It has nothing to do with Hajj or with our class, but just a benefit, inshallah, because we brothers, we want good for each other. Now, this is pertaining to coming in a masjid and performing tahiyyat al-masjid, which is, alhamdulillah, is the sunnah. When a person comes before they sit, they pray two rakat. The ulama, they call it tahiyyat al-masjid. But the point is not about that. The point is about the timing. When you come, if I come, right by the time of the adhan, any adhan, or a minute before, or a couple of seconds before the adhan, our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Al-Abbad al-Badr, Hafidhahullah, he was asked, Ya Shaykh, if a person come right at the time of the adhan, or shortly before the adhan, what that person do? The Shaykh said, it's better for that person to wait, to remain standing, so that he can repeat with the adhan, inshallah. So he can get this fadila, get this virtue, and repeat with the adhan, and then with the muaddin, and then pray tahiyyat al-masjid. If a person know that, but this is different if a person come 10, 15 minutes, or 5 minutes before the adhan, yes, that person go ahead and pray tahiyyat al-masjid. But you're not going to perform tahiyyat al-masjid in a minute or two or 50 seconds. So I just want to share that with you, inshallah ta'ala, so that you can get both benefits. Yeah, because while you're doing, some people, even when the adhan is called, they just come straight and begin to pray. La, you stand where you want, alhamdulillah, say with the mu'addin what he's saying, and then inshallah ta'ala you make dua. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.